O powerful Brahmana, it is said that you hardly stay in the houses of men long enough to milk a cow. Purport by Svangai Sisi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Saints and sages in the renowned order of life go to the houses of the householders at the time they milk the cows early in the morning and ask for some quantity of milk for subsistence. A pound of fresh milk from the milk bag of a cow is sufficient to feed an adult with all vitamins, values. And therefore, saints and sages live only on milk. Even the poorest of the householders keep at least 10 cows, each delivering 12 to 20 quarts of milk. And therefore, no one hesitates to spare a few pounds of milk for the mendicants. It is the duty of the householders to maintain the saints and sages like the children. So a saint like Sukadeva Goswami would hardly stay at the house of a householder for more than 5 minutes in the morning. In other words, such saints are rarely seen in the houses of householders. And Maharaj Parikshit, therefore, pray to him to instruct him as soon as possible. The householders also should be intelligent enough to get some transcendental information from visiting sages. The householder should not foolishly ask a saint to deliver what is available in the market. That should be the reciprocal relation between the saints and the householders. And the purport. Om Agyanam Tananda Shagyanam Svathaya Chakshul Mijam Tasmai Sri Guru Venamaha Maam Krishna Vudaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutare Samadhi Bhakti Vidanta Swami Nitya Namne Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachanini Nivishesha Sandhavadi Vasari Siddharini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Dvaita Giradha Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This is the second to last sloka, and there is no purport in the sloka before this. There is no purport. So I'll read these three purports together, 38 and 40. Text 38, please let me know what a man should hear, chant, remember, and worship, and also what he should not do. Please explain all this to me. O powerful Brahmana, it is said that you hardly stay in the houses of men long enough to milk a cow. 40. Siddhasuta Goswami said, the king thus spoke and questioned the sage using sweet language. Then the great and powerful personality, the son of Vyasadeva, who knew the principles of religion, began his reply. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the first canto, 19th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Appearance of Sukadeva Goswami. End of the first canto. So, in summary, this chapter we've heard the appearance of Sukadeva Goswami, that Maharaj Parikshit had already decided to sit down and fast till death upon receiving the news that he was to die within 7 days. So he went to the bank of the Ganges and decided to fix his mind on Krishna. Because he knew that this was the ultimate remedy. above all others. Because then the sages appeared, having heard that the emperor of the universe was about to leave his body, and everyone knew him as a great devotee of Lord Krishna. So they all gathered there from all over the universe, actually. There's different demigods are also there. To see such a rare occurrence of somebody is actually leaving this material world behind, become free from the cycle of birth and death. It's such a rare thing. So therefore, they come from all over the place, all over the universe. Even on Brahmaloka, they're discussing sometimes they discuss the glories of someone who is about to attain liberation, and the process it is mentioned in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. So they will go to see, even from the topmost planet. They're discussing and glorifying those devotees who actually attain this liberation from the cycle of birth and death and attain the supreme goal. So just imagine how exalted it is and how actually rare it is that those Brahmaloka is above the higher planets where they're already liberated above Swarga. They're already liberated souls up there as Tapajnana, Mahaloka, etc. Right up to Brahma. Think of the endeavor. Imagine the endeavor to actually achieve those planets. What do they have to do to get to those places beyond? They've given up desire for sense gratification for sure. They surpass Swargaloka. And they're all Jivan Muktas, like Sukadev. But still, they're still in the material world. So when someone's actually going to leave the material world, they're very surprised. Especially from this middle planetary system. How many millions, how many hundreds and hundreds of births, and how much endeavor, trouble have they taken to reach those higher planets? Great austerity, Siddhaloka, all of those cities, you can fly around, you can they perform austerities, Gyaniloka, they know everything, they know the Vedas inside out, still they're here. So it's actually a rare thing that someone can actually give up everything and just leave everything behind and go back. It's such a rare thing. So this was the case of Sukadeva Goswami. And so he didn't, being a liberated soul, he was, Sukadeva was also liberated from his birth. Right, as soon as he was born, we heard it. He had attachment to Krishna from his birth. As soon as he was born, he had attachment for Krishna. That's a liberated stage. To attain attachment for Krishna is not such an easy thing, right? Attachment for Krishna. Shakti, that's way up on the scale. Right? In the devotional progression of the soul, to achieve attachment is, it's just before. This is before Bhava starts, and you have a very strong attachment to Krishna. But Pariksit had that from when he was born, therefore he was called Pariksit. He was looking for that person. Who is that person? Who is that wonderful person I saw? Can I see him? Can I find him? So that is his position. So being liberated, and he knew exactly what to do. His idea was to sit down and remember Krishna. And he told the sages that, and they approved. This is a very good thing, and we're gonna stay here till you leave. We're gonna watch, and be here when this happens. Very auspicious event. And then Sukadeva Goswami came, but following the etiquette, and Sukadeva also a great devotee of the Lord, Mahajan, in all of the. He was exactly the right person to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, especially to Maharaj Pariksit, because Maharaj Pariksit was a great devotee of Krishna, being a family connected by family also. And Sukadeva Goswami was also a topmost devotee of Krishna, so it was right that he could come. He was the right person, because there were also other sages. I guess there were some other Brahmavadis, etc., Gyanis and Yogis and all of that type of people. So Sukadeva was the right person. Maharaj Pariksit was the right person. Therefore, the scenario was arranged so that the perfect questions and perfect answers could be left for us. So by following the etiquette, then he's bowing down and asking, "How can please tell me what is the duty of a person, especially at the time of the diet?" So his question was very pointed. In that verse, yesterday's verse, he's asking what is. Yeah, especially for one, what is the way of perfection for all persons, especially one is about to die. So he's asking that. It's very pointed. What is the way of perfection for all, and especially for one is about to die, especially for him. And as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport here, he says, the end of this purport, the householder should not foolishly ask a saint to deliver what is available in the market. that should be the reciprocal relationship between the saints and the householders. So this is Maharaj Pariksit is asking. He's asking for the supreme. What is supreme? And then they're saying in this vidvan, you hardly stay in the houses of men long enough to milk a cow. In other words, he's stressing the urgency of it, he's stressing the importance of it by saying, what is the supreme duty? What should one... but he knows what to do. He knows what should be done, because he's asking what he should hear, what a man should hear, what he should chant, what he should remember and worship. These very pointed questions that, you know, this, he wants answers for these. And what he should not do also. So therefore, there's lots of stories what you shouldn't do in the Bhagavatam. All the many stories of people that trying to be successful without separate from Krishna, separate from God, and they were all failures. Unless the only result they got was they got everything taken away from them. They got turned upside down, and all their desires and hopes and aspirations are generally frustrated, then they come to their senses. That was the only good thing about it. So that's the only reason why they're there. But why do that? Why go through all that? If you've heard it, this is the most intelligent thing. If you heard it, they couldn't do it. They're great people. All these stories that the people, characters in the Bhagavatam are generally very great persons. You know, emperors and kings and sages and things like that. They're not ordinary. Some are, but generally they're ordinary run-of-the-mill people. But even they became frustrated. So this is for us. Why? What are we? Who are we compared with these people? What are our stupid little desires that we have to try to achieve something, and then we'd be satisfied when they gave up empires and things like that. Ruling the planet, controlling, more or less controlling the whole planet. And how these personalities who didn't surrender to Krishna were ultimately embarrassed and turned to Krishna, if they weren't killed by him, if they were too stubborn to realize their foolishness, then they would be sometimes personally killed by Krishna for his a little pleasure for him. So that's why the Bhagavatam is exactly the right situation. And all these sages, all the different gyanis, yogis, karma, everyone must have been there, the demigods are there also. So here they're all recognizing that, at least the leaders are recognizing that Sukadeva Goswami should speak. And Sukadeva Goswami speaks only on the principles of pure devotional service, nothing else. So there's also an indication that this is the summum bonum, that all of the other paths, they culminate in this. Because all the sages were in agreement. And so they were all sages practicing different paths of perfection, coming from higher planets, you know, where they are almost perfect attain those siddhis, attain those perfections in karma, gyan, yoga. But still, they chose, they accepted that it was Sukadeva should speak, and he's only speaking pure devotional service. So this is the evidence that the pure devotional service supersedes all of the other processes. So we shouldn't worry that you're doing, am I doing the right thing? Am I on the right path? Am I accepting the right way? Now you should have no doubt. No doubt here, because this is the, all the authorities are here. Vyasadeva is there, all the authorities are there. And all the authorities, the main authorities in the universe at that particular time, maybe Lord Brahma wasn't there. But we know that Lord Brahma is also a great devotee of the Lord. So that is the, as Prabhupada said, you shouldn't foolishly ask someone's there for only a few minutes in your house. You shouldn't ask him what is available in the market. You can go and purchase that somewhere other. You should ask pertinent questions. There was a where is it? I think it's on the one of that Prabhupada calendar we have with different quotes from Prabhupada every day, that he's saying this, he's saying they go to the sadhu. He said they have some disease. They go to the sadhu and give 100 rupees, and they ask for blessings. Blessing is, please remove this. Then I'll save thousands of rupees in hospital fees. He said, so that's how they think of the sadhu. Let me spend 100 rupees, save it that. He said nobody goes to the sadhu to go back to Godhead. And who's that? Who's doing that? No one's doing that. They don't. It's not that. Not they want. It's so rare that actually somebody wants to go back to Godhead. It's so rare. If you think about it, so rare. Like some another instance when Srila Prabhupada was traveling in a train. So some people were trying to get Prabhupada's darshan, and so they somehow or other they managed to get in. Because they knew that he's on a train, he's not going to be there very long. So then Prabhupada said, yes. And they said, Swamiji, give us blessings. He said, what blessings? And they said, oh, well, I have this knee problem, and my cousin has this such problem. And And Prabhupada was a little disgusted. And he looked at his disciples with kunti malas and bee bags in their hands and tilak on their heads. He said, this is the benediction I'm giving. He said, you want this benediction? He said, well, Swami, we don't want to take your precious time. And then, so that's how it is. Who wants to go back? Factually speaking. Who wants to go back to Godhead? If we could adjust the material world, then we'd probably settle for that. If you didn't have to get old, sick, and dying was easy, you probably wouldn't mind being around here. There's the main impetus of leaving this material world, because it is a place of suffering. Krishna's created it like that. It's actually a place of distress, martyrloka, where the living entity, conditioned souls, are always in anxiety. Every moment they're in anxiety, afraid of their supposed enemy. Always in anxiety. You see? We're not so bad as the animals. The animals are always in anxiety. They're always looking here and there for someone's going to come and eat them. Isn't it? Especially the birds. But all of the animals, you see, you know, the dogs, the jackals, they come out at night, 5 o'clock, you know, they're going to die. They walk 3 paces, stop, like that, walking out, they stop, checking out who's around. Have to wait till all the humans go away, and they come out, take all the Mahavishad remnants from the Brahmachari kitchen and the guest house. Lots of them now, you see? They're getting so fat, they're healthy also, you know? They're better than their dogs hanging around. And there's a lot of them because it hasn't flooded for many years. So they're breeding like anything. And when it floods, they all have to go away to high ground, so they don't come back for a while. But now they're plenty around. But what a bird. And this is Chinnamas was saying, well, those poor jackals, they're coming out, it's pouring of rain. They have to come out and get some food at night, it's dark. They walk into all that wet grass and it's just sniffing for something dead or something rotten or something to eat. Yeah? What a body, what a bird. Yeah? So we're pretty lucky. We don't have that the danger is not so apparent for us because humans are a little organized and civilized, and we're cooperating together. So for our own interest, for our own protection. But still, you just pick up the newspaper. Everyone's in anxiety. It's tension is there all the time. Always there. It's all problems if you read the newspapers. So that's why people turn to God. That is the purpose of the material energy, purpose of Maya, Adhyatmik, Adhidevik, Adhibhautik, Durga's trident, those three things. And she's poking us, go back, go back, go back, go back to Krishna. Incessantly. She's such a nice devotee. She cares for us so much. Go back, don't stay here, don't try to enjoy it. Since you get a little comfortable, you can't stay. So that's the material world, it's like that. So we shouldn't try to adjust it, so we shouldn't pray for a benediction that you please make an exception to me, or you resolve that you make it easy for me in this material world. That is just wasting your time because it's already fixed. Old age, disease, death is already fixed. You're not going to change that. So why? The saints are there, they're coming, and also the Lord personally, when he comes, same thing, if you're fortunate enough to be around. It's not an ordinary thing if you're fortunate enough to be around when Krishna's around. But even when they are, even when the Lord appears, the people still don't recognize, or still they ask for foolish things, like Duryodhana. Got Krishna's army, he didn't get Krishna. And he had a choice there, me or my army, he took the army. So he was killed along with the army. But it's a fact that who wants really to go back to Godhead? Why should someone want to go back to Godhead? So that's the duty of the saints, and that's why Krishna appears and performs his pastime simply to attract the conditioned souls. Simply to leave behind the stories of his pastimes, the remembrance of his pastimes. And then those saints, they wander around and they repeat those pastimes of the Lord. So then you get, until you've actually an attraction for Krishna, then why would you be interested in going back to Godhead? So they're for our benefit to tell us about Krishna, tell us about the pastimes of Krishna and the holy dharma of Krishna, or anything in relation to Krishna, Krishna's devotees. Simply by hearing about that, one gets purified. That is a magical effect, because it's actually because the Lord is absolute, then everything about him is absolute. So the mystical effect is that you're actually getting purified, and purified from it means purified from a attachment to the material world, attachment to the desire to control and enjoy in the material world. Material senses, because unless you replace it with something better, why should you give up that desire? If trouble is the main reason that people approach God, this difficult situation, then you'll be satisfied with anything above swaga to kevala mukti. You'll be satisfied because that will be the end of all your problems. Yeah? In heavenly planet, swaga, there's no problems. And after many births of that, even if the Gyanis and Yogis say, well, there is actually a problem with swaga because it's not eternal, then the next option would be kevala mukti. Forget everything, give it all up, no more problems, no nothing. just a state of existence, without any problems. Because we're so used to spending the whole day trying to ward off the problems, we think if only there were no problems, life would be wonderful. But it wouldn't. Life would be empty and flat if there were no problems. Yeah? Unless you know how to live life properly. You'd be bored stiff. You can't have one without the other, you see. It doesn't work like that. So if you went to the place where there was no misery, there would be no happiness. So then you'll be bored stiff because the nature, your constitution is that you have life. You're a living energy. Therefore, energy means activity. And activity means relationship. So what is a... Now we're very anxious for relationship in the material world. That's what's keeping us here, that desire to remove the obstacles so we can achieve our cherished desires and be happy. That's what's keeping us in the material world. There's nothing else. It's coming from us. It's not coming from... Material nature is just supplying the ingredients and under the direction of the super soul. The demigods are arranging the situations so we can experience and try to satisfy those desires. That's all that's going on. So it's by the mercy of these the devotees, it is the Lord's mercy which is distributed by the devotee, which is the panacea to become free from this. And we hear something better, a better life, a better place, a better standard of enjoyment. And it's based. The material world is a reflection of the spiritual world, so it's very similar in some aspects. I mean, the picturesque, it's very similar. Because we hear descriptions of Vrindavan, rural place. the scenery is like this. In the spiritual world, this is a reflection. And the cities, they have skyscrapers in the cities in the spiritual world, but they're made of, you know, chintamani and... You know, nothing less than marble, no bricks and mortar, but all valuable things, and they don't have buses and trams. They have, you know, other things that don't run on petrol and make sounds, and you know, they can move around very comfortably in their cities on their havanas. No ticket. Don't have to queue up. Yeah. So it's very comfortable, so that's what goes on in the spiritual. That's what we left. That's what we're trying to make this material world like that. Yeah? If you advance to what it's trying to make it like that, everything runs efficiently, smoothly, without any pollution, without any noise, without any breakdowns. Yeah? So then the so-called, the more advanced you get, the closer you get to that. Of course, Prabhupada said it won't last. But, you know, some, you go to, especially if you've been in India for a while, then you go to the West, and then it seems a little bit like Swarga in the beginning. For the noise and the pollution and the things like that. Things work. Yeah? You can drive down the road without, you know, biting your lip and hanging on that you're going to be squished, and people follow rules, and because India is actually meant for tapasya. But it actually appears very, you know, but what are they? They're working hard like asses all day also for that. The whole day is spent just for that. Well, it's comfortable. You know, you've held back the heat and the cold and the distance. You made it, but you're working all day for it. You don't have much time to actually enjoy it. What you've created, hardly have any time. You only have a few hours in the day to actually enjoy it. To pay for everything. So that's mine. That's the material world. But if you hear about the spiritual world, how wonderful that is, then naturally you should be attracted to go there. If one has faith that it's a reality. So, and especially Vrindavan. Here, because Sukadeva Goswami, he knows all these things. He's discussing later when he's in the 10th canto. Sukadeva Goswami is discussing about Vrindavan, description of Vrindavan, what it's like, different seasons. Vrindavan in the autumn, wonderful place. And everything there is fully conscious. There's no inebriations. And it's not fixed, it's all adjustable. Everything is adjustable, the seasons are adjustable. Because everything is for Krishna's pleasure. To invoke Krishna's pleasure. So Vrindavan is such a wonderful place because actually it's manifest from Lord Balaram. And Lord Balaram is Krishna's internal potency. He's the greatest devotee. So for Krishna's pleasure, that he has manifest Vrindavan. So everything about Vrindavan is for Krishna's pleasure. So everything reminds, and pleasure means relationship. So everything in Vrindavan reminds Krishna of devotees. Therefore, Krishna is very much attracted to Vrindavan. It's called Manohar. It's like these shops that go Manohar. They're, what attracts a mind or seduces a mind of Hari? From the moment he gets up in the morning, Krishna, then he sees the, maybe see, looks out the window and sees the deer. And those doe-eyed deers, then immediately he thinks of Radharani. Radharani, he sees those eyes of the deer and he thinks of Radharani is glancing. Then he's thinking about the love that Radharani has for him and the ecstasy she feels with that love. He's thinking like that. And so he immediately is in ecstasy in the morning. He immediately is in bhava as soon as he wakes up. And everything, the pea, the bird, the pea hens, then when they open their feathers, then he thinks of Mother Yasoda's long hair, braided hair when she's dressing him and things like that. And immediately he's thinking of Mother Yasoda's love for him, how much she loves him. And then the bumblebees, he's thinking of the, as they're moving here and there, and he's thinking of the eyes of the devotees that can't go with him in certain places, like when he goes into the forest, and they're all in anxiety and crying, and those are, he's reminded of those devotees, those relationships, and he's feeling their relationships, how they love him so much. This way, everything reminds Krishna of, is there to induce the bhava of Krishna. So from the very first thing in the morning, or any time of the day, everything there is to evoke that. And Krishna's thinking how wonderful these devotees are. He's feeling ecstasy. He's feeling ecstasy, all those things. And he wants to reciprocate because their love is unparalleled. And he knows that. If someone loves you very much, you tend to always think of that person. So imagine everyone loves you as much as more than that person. Everyone. So you're obliged. If someone loves you so much, they'll do anything for you. They only live for you. You know, when you think of that person, you feel so nice. Someone really cares for me. Someone really loves me. More than their own self, that they love me. More than their own self, that would do. They would sacrifice so much for me. And they show it, not just talking. You'd be so obliged to that person. And you'd have so much love for that person. Because that's what we're actually looking for. So imagine everyone and everything in Vrindavan is like that. So just how much ecstasy Krishna must be feeling. And they're all reminding him of the different relationships that he has, that he can find there with his friends. So that's how Balaram works in Vrindavan. That's his potency to increase Krishna's pleasure in Vrindavan. and then Krishna goes and meets and everything. You can read the description of Sukadeva Goswami, describe it, give him those wonderful descriptions of Vrindavan. He knows these things. He's a great bhakta. But also he's telling of Maharaj Pariksha, also asked him to tell me what's not to be done also. So he's also given the other narrations about the foolish kings and demigods and demons who are fooling around trying to adjust material energy. But over and above that, he knows that. That's why he's left that. He leaves that. He's building up to that actual Vrindavan, which Maharaj Pariksha wants. That was his intention anyway, to sit down and remember the pastimes. What should one remember? What should one hear? What should somebody chant this time? This is the essential question that is Maharaj Pariksha is answering, and then Sukadeva will go on and answer in the next 9, 10, 11 cantos. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Jai Gopi Premanandi Hari Hari. Any comment or question? Yes, Mary.
I was wondering, is there any particular reason why
he cannot
take the rubber?
He cannot.
What
happens
in the next
situation? I don't know. Even we can take that, even if can. I can't answer that question. It's too esoteric. But he's a Narayan Bhakta. He's just a Deva, he's Narayan. Not Radha Krishna. So he'd be in Ashwarya. Of course, there's some Shakya there. He has that side. He likes to make a trouble in between the parties just to enhance the rasas. But he's just a Deva, isn't he? Although he knows all the art of the different rasas. How do you say?